From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this MLK Day edition of Washington Watch. Coming up, President Trump put a compromise plan on the table over the weekend to reopen the government, secure the border, and extend the DACA program for 3 years. Both Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi have rejected the compromise.
It was the president who single-handedly took away DACA and TPS protections in the first place, offering some of those protections that he took away back in exchange for the wall is not a compromise, but hostage-taking.
Also on Friday, President Trump sent a letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi saying he will veto any legislation that would weaken current pro-life federal policies or laws or that encourages the destruction of innocent human life at any stage. Former Ohio Secretary of State and Trump transition team member Ken Blackwell is here on those topics. And today is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Dean Nelson, Senior Fellow for African American Affairs at the Family Research Council, joins me to talk about what was at the heart of Dr. King's message and motivation. Also, the outrage over Karen Pence, the wife of the vice president, teaching at a Christian school, which happens to believe the Bible. Well, that controversy continues. Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University in Oklahoma, joins me to talk about what the outrage is really about. And we're going to be taking your phone calls on this Monday afternoon, a little bit later on this edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right. On Saturday, President Trump, in a nationwide address from the White House, offered the Democrats two significant pieces of policy if they approve his $5.7 billion wall or border security and reopen the government. Well, they rejected it. Joining us now to talk about this is our own Ken Blackwell, Senior Fellow for Human Rights and Constitutional Governance here at the Family Research Council. Ken, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Good to be with you, sir.
Now, Ken, I know you've been doing a lot of media over the weekend on this because I've seen you all over the television. The president, I mean, he's even gotten criticism from the right as this is being too generous. But yet Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer outright rejecting this compromise proposal.
Oh, absolutely. And that's because they are pushing hard for amnesty for the 11 million folks who are here illegally, who have either had their visas expire or they came in as children with parents who came here illegally. What the president has basically said is that he's willing to give them a three-year extension that doesn't include citizenship rights, doesn't include voting rights, but it basically says that they don't have to worry about deportation for 3 years as they try to get on the good foot and the Congress and the president resolve their policy disputes. This was rejected out of hand because Chuck Schumer and Speaker Pelosi are not interested in compromise. They are interested in changing, radically changing the fabric and framework of what has made us, historically the most prosperous and democratic and democracy in all of human history. And I can tell you, Tony, as you and I have talked on any number of occasions, during my service at the United Nations, I worked with delegations from 193 nations. Not one of them were willing to surrender their sovereignty, their right to define what was entailed in citizenship in their respective countries and the borders that define them as a country.
We're one of the few countries that actually allow people to come in, go through a process, and actually become citizens in our country and have full rights as everyone else. Not every country in the world allows that.
Absolutely. And the reality is, underscored by what you just said, that we probably have the most liberal immigration policies in most of the free world.
Now, so we're clear on this. The president still saying, I want border security. I want the $5.7 billion to build the security on the border. I know we talk about the wall, but it's a combination of elements to secure the border. But he says, I will give the DACA, as you talked about, it's this program was put in place unilaterally by Barack Obama. This allowed the unaccompanied minors to stay. What the president is saying, look, we're not going to deport them. We'll extend that 3 years until we work out the bigger issue of how we solve the immigration problem. But we can't get to that until we secure the border and we reopen government. Is that a correct assessment?
That's the crystal clear definition and explanation of where we are. The president has been very, very forthcoming in his willingness to negotiate. And as you said in your opening comments, at times to the chagrin of a lot of us on the right who believe that, you know, maybe he's given too much. But the reality is that he is a key negotiator. He has put us on a path of extraordinary economic growth, job creation. He's put Americans back to work, and he is following through on his campaign promises, which is something different from most of the past occupants of the White House.
So, Ken Blackwell, what happens next? Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer outright rejecting this. Now, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is going to advance this in the Senate, likely to pass there in the Senate and go on to the House. Is that's going to put Nancy Pelosi in a difficult position?
I think so, because there is a record of many of her conference who have already voted for much more of border security apparatus than what the president is asking for. The only difference is that it is now President Trump that is asking for this funding. Look, Tony, there is a wall, there is a barrier, a physical barrier that separates Tijuana from its neighboring city in California. You don't hear Nancy Pelosi saying that wall is, you know, immoral. You don't have her standing in front of the wall saying, tear down this wall. Because she actually understands that the people of California in those border cities would just go crazy if, in fact, she did something that stupid. So she is a walking contradiction, and I think what is starting to happen is that we're going to see support for her ridiculous position erode.
Now, Ken, not that I'm concerned about this at all, but it would seem to me from a political perspective, Nancy Pelosi stands to really be weakened if this bill comes out of the Senate and goes to the House. That's going to put this government shutdown, the continued loggerheads that we see our federal government right at her doorstep, really in her lap. It would seem to me that it would be a smart move for her to accept this compromise from the president, declare victory, and move on.
Oh, I think, but no one has ever accused her of being politically astute. She is too cute by half with some of her political maneuvering. She's between a rock and a hard place. She is, every day that goes by and she sticks to this crazy position, she's surrendering the Democrat Party to the extremists on the left.
Well, I can say this because I know she's not listening and probably most of her supporters aren't listening, but I actually think this is good for the president, because if she refuses this deal, it moves out of the Senate. And I know Mitch McConnell is not going to put anything on the Senate floor that can't pass. He knows how to count votes.
The votes, that's right.
And so this is going to, I think, weaken her, strengthen the president in this negotiation with the Democrats, and I think establish the parameters going forward for the next 2 years. I actually think this is a win for the president.
Oh, I think you're right. The other thing that I would do, and I've said this to our friends in the White House, I would work with one of the governors in one of the border states. I would actually do the State of the Union in Texas, in Arkansas, in one of the border states that, in fact, is exposed right to the drug trafficking, the human trafficking, you know, and the criminal element that's crossing our border because it is so porous. I would do the State of the Union there, take it out of the swamp, speak directly to the people, and say, my number one responsibility is the national security of our nation and the safety of our people, whether they be in their homes, in their townships, in their cities, or in their states. I am the president of the United States, and my responsibility is to make sure that you're safe and the folks who are in place and trained to protect you are paid and equipped and ready to do their jobs of protecting you.
Well, I don't want to contradict you or anything, but I actually suggested to the White House that they go one step further, that they actually do it on the border and draw attention to the crisis and show the American people through the State of the Union address that we are in a crisis. It's a humanitarian crisis. It is a security crisis. And just let the entire country see it.
But I can live with either scenario, Tony.
Hey, let me, before we run out of time, Ken, I want to transition very quickly to this other topic. On Friday, the president announcing in his video address to the March for Life a letter that he had communicated to Nancy Pelosi on Friday as well, telling her that any legislation that weakens current pro-life federal policies and laws or that encourages the destruction of innocent human life at any stage is going to be vetoed. Pretty significant statement by the president.
It really is, and it underscores on this Martin Luther King holiday that the president understands that the human condition is not a spectator sport. There are no timeouts, no intermissions. He is fully engaged. He's ready to protect innocent life. He understands that the nation, the vast majority of the people of our nation are supportive of pro-life policies and the pro-life ethic. He's witnessed the cultural transformation that we've seen, you know, since Roe v. Wade was decided. And so this president is basically saying on this, there is no compromise.
And I think it's very significant. It's in black and white. There's no moving back from it, as he has done before. When he states something, he sticks to it. Nancy Pelosi now knows it. Ken Blackwell, as always, great to have you on, my friend.
Thank you, Tony. God bless.
All right. Ken Blackwell, senior fellow here at the Family Research Council, among many other things that he does. All right. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about Martin Luther King Day. Dean Nelson joins me to talk about the motivation and the means by which Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. advanced the civil rights movement. What was behind it? Could it happen today, or could it be that the very core of his message and his motive is under attack today? We talk about it next with Dean Nelson. Don't go away.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. All right, a lot has changed since Reverend Martin Luther King's life was cut short a half century ago. The man who would have turned 90 last week would notice a lot of his fingerprints on America's social progress. But he would also, I believe, be deeply dismayed to see the number of people who've turned their backs on his greatest motivation, a deep and abiding faith in God. In all the politically correct retrospectives, we've lost perspective on how important religion was to the story of Dr. King and the Civil Rights Movement. Joining me now to talk about this is our own Dean Nelson, Senior Fellow of African-American Affairs for the Family Research Council. Dean, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony, for doing this important program. It's great to be with you.
Well, thanks, Dean. It does seem as though the fact that Dr. King was a pastor and that he was animated and motivated by biblical concepts and principles has been lost by the masses as he has been filtered through the left-wing media.
Without a doubt. I mean, as I'm thinking about the statue that's even there in Washington, D.C., it has engraving. It doesn't even mention the fact that he was a minister of the gospel, which is the thing that he wanted to be remembered for. And so I'm happy to say, though, that there is a growing number of black ministers around the country who want to re-emphasize the real meaning behind what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. lived for and ultimately what he died for. And that was his commitment to God and to use biblical principle in our culture to restore our culture.
Now, I know every human being is fallible, and so no one is perfect. But when I listen to his sermons, I read his books, I mean, the man clearly was anointed to communicate. And he used those biblical references. He used those biblical illustrations. And I'm left to think, Dean, that without religion, without the church, there would not have been a civil rights movement, not one that would have succeeded.
There's no question about it. I mean, for most Americans, we're familiar with Dr. King's famous I Have a Dream speech. And in it, you know, he quotes particularly from Amos chapter 5, those eloquent words of let justice roll down like waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Justice was obviously a very important theme for him and throughout the civil rights movement. And he would use that time and time again, not to really criticize America, but really to call America to live up to its foundational creed and understanding that those things were laid even in our Constitution and in our early founding documents. That was his call, was to use those biblical principles that our American nation was founded upon and calling America simply to live up to those standards.
And that that appeal to Scripture, transcendent truth. I mean, that's one of the reasons you can appeal to it, because it is truth. But that's been present in two of the most significant social changes in America, whether you talk about, we talk about the Civil Rights Movement, but also back to the abolition, the ending of slavery. I know you have written about Frederick Douglass, and you've studied him, you've spoken, you're part of the Frederick Douglass Foundation. Religion is key to social change.
Without a doubt. And if you, just as you're saying, if you were to go back, 100 years before, Dr. King, you would listen to the words of the great abolitionist Frederick Douglass, who would also quote the Bible. He once said, my greatest, political idea, he says, in effect, you can find it in the Bible. It is that righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. He said, that's the whole of my politics, the positive and the negative. And he was also a licensed minister of the gospel. But they would use that. They would call America, even like the ideas that would be found, in our modern Christian, thought of, Imago Dei, taking the idea that all of us are created in the image and likeness of God. And those principles were transformative and allowed these men to be effective in their generation to make a difference to the glory of God within the culture.
So, Dean Nelson, when we look at the challenges that we face today in America, we could talk about drugs, the opioid crisis. We could talk about the division that's in our nation. I mean, you pick something. The power for transformation, as we've seen historically, it is hard to come by short of the gospel and biblical truth. And as we see increasingly those that want to remove that from society, the hope for the transformation that we need is lost.
Without a doubt, both of these men not only used biblical principle, but also had deep experiences and encounters with God themselves. And I'm proud to say that today I was, and yesterday I've been with a number of ministers, some of them who lead civil rights organizations. And what I've heard consistently from these men is, we can't have justice without also having a commitment to righteousness. You've quoted it before, where Dr. King essentially said that the church is not the master nor the servant of the state, but rather is called to be the conscience of the state. And if we don't recapture that prophetic zeal, we become an irrelevant social club without moral and spiritual authority. And that's what I'm hearing from ministers, black and white, today. There has to be something that happens on the inside in the heart that then makes a difference to change the outside.
One of my favorite quotes from Dr. King. Dean Nelson, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate what you're doing out there across America.
Tony, thank you for honoring Dr. King and all the work that you're doing at FRC.
All right, Dr. Dean Nelson. Find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Works with pastors all across the nation, part of our outreach program. Increasingly, as he was saying, pastors realize that the church has a key role, pastors in particular, not to be subservient to the state, not to lord over the state, but to be the conscience of the state. All right, when we come back, the controversy surrounding the vice president's wife teaching at a Christian school continues. Is there more to this than meets the eye? Dr. Everett Piper of Oklahoma Wesleyan University joins me for that conversation when we return. Don't go away. More Washington Watch right after this.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, Christian schools are under attack by the liberal media as they have broadened their attack, first on Karen Pence, the wife of the vice president. She had been an art teacher at Emmanuel Christian School while vice president, back when he was in Congress, Congressman Pence, I think about 12 years. Well, she's an art teacher, so she decided to return as a volunteer, working part-time. And this has created an outrage because Emmanuel Christian School actually believes the Bible in terms of conduct of its personnel and its students. In particular, human sexuality. They don't like the fact that they have a biblical code of conduct. My next guest is Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, the author of Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth. He wrote a column about this in the Washington Times yesterday entitled, How Could This Happen in America? Dr. Piper, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Always a pleasure to join you, Tony. Thank you.
I mean, to me, the outrage is the outrage over the fact that a Christian school is actually embracing biblical teaching.
Yeah, the quote for the headline of my article is actually a quote from Lisa Romano, who is a writer for Politico and the Washington Post Live, where she said, how can this happen in America in 2019, referring to Mrs. Pence actually teaching at this school. In other words, she's indignant. Romano is indignant that Mrs. Pence, a Christian woman, actually teaches at a Christian school that teaches its students to act like Christians. How could this happen in America, is what she's saying. It's just more evidence of the religious bigotry that the left has toward the 2,000-year-old teachings of the church, of Christianity, concerning issues like marriage, which I would add, Tony, a little sarcastically here, but true. Those teachings are one man, one woman for one lifetime, for all of those who seem to think that civil law and moral law just happened to burst on the scene via messianic fiat in 2015. Why is it shocking for Ms. Romano or anybody else to find that a Christian wants to teach Christianity at a Christian school? Would they have the same outrage of a Muslim teaching Islam at an Islamic school, or a Jew teaching Jewish history at a Jewish school? The bigotry toward Christians is thick, and this is just more evidence of it.
To me, I see this as kind of the canary in the coal mine. This is a warning of where they want to go with when it comes to religious expression, freedom of religion, if we want to call it that. I see them as wanting to essentially create these religious ghettos where Christians must stay there, and they cannot come out to assume a position in the public square as Karen Pence is.
Well, we see it in the vetting of the Supreme Court justices, the anti-Catholic bigotry that is thick within those particular hearings. They don't even disguise it any longer. I mean, they're actually asking Catholics if they intend to continue to be Catholic. And if they don't say something that's acceptable through the vetting process of the left, then supposedly, I guess that takes them out of consideration just because they're devout and faithful Catholics. Christians are being told to abandon their Christianity if you want to engage in the market square of ideas and in public service and even teach at a local school. You know, the irony here, and this is something all the listeners know, but I'm just going to remind everybody, when Jefferson said there was a wall separating church from state, obviously he was talking to the Danbury Baptists, the skittish group of Christians who didn't think the government could be trusted to mind its P's and Q's. And Jefferson said essentially this, and I paraphrase, don't worry about it. We have the First Amendment written by Madison. 11 years ago it was written, and it has given us a wall separating the church from the state. In other words, it was a fortress, not a prison. What do I mean by that? The wall was constructed by Jefferson and Madison and in our Constitution to be a fortress protecting us from the government, not a prison to keep us in our behind its walls. There's a door in that wall, and the key is on the inside for the church to unlock the door, enter into culture, do its good work, and then go back in behind that wall and keep the government out of its business. That's clearly what Jefferson was telling the Danbury Baptists, and these people that are questioning Karen Pence need to remember that.
But what we see here, we often hear about a religious test. You can't force someone to have a religion. This is a reverse religious test, basically saying you've got to check your faith at the door of public service.
It's a direct contradiction of the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free expression thereof. Congress, meaning the government, has no right to tell the church what to believe, what to think, what to do. We can make those decisions on our own. That's the business of the church, not the government.
So important, because so much rides on this first freedom. Dr. Everett Piper, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Blessings, Tony.
All right, if you'd like to read his piece, go to tonyperkins.com, and you can follow the links over and read the op-ed that appeared yesterday in the Washington Times. All right, when we come back, we go to your phone calls here on Washington Watch. Phone number, 866-372-7234. When we return, we're going to be talking about this whole topic. It's huge. It's big. It's important. And I want to know what you think. When we come back, right after this.
The world on our horizon is like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy, from unicorns to the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. In FRC's analysis, 10 Myths on Abortion, join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to our other free resources, go to frc.org/connect.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. By the way, at that website, you can sign a pledge to pray for Karen Pence. This actually got a lot of traction over the weekend. I think close to 40,000 people have signed this pledge, which I'm going to deliver to the vice president to give to his wife. So if you'd like to sign that, do go to TonyPerkins.com. Let her know that you're standing with her, praying for her. And I was on Fox and Friends this morning talking about this topic. Over the weekend, after this, you know, kicked off on Friday, they started this hashtag, Expose Christian Schools, hashtag Expose Christian Schools. The left trying to demean and attack Christian schools. And so here's, I know we've got some callers. I'm going to take all those calls that are here, but here's the kind of put a fine point on our conversation this afternoon. I would like to hear from some of our listeners that are involved in or have been a part of Christian schools, just to talk about why they're so important and why we must protect their right to continue to exist. It's a growing movement. Over 10,000 elementary and secondary schools are Christian schools, 7,000 Christian colleges, you know, to varying degrees. I only went for one semester in high school to a Christian school, but did graduate from Liberty University in my undergraduate work. Very grateful. My son is at a Christian college. Very grateful that we have that those choices, and that as they get that education, like we see, at Liberty. Liberty now is producing all kinds of graduates. Dr. Falwell, who was kind of a mentor of mine, he really understood how to change a culture. Liberty, the largest Christian school in the world, 100,000 students online, and, I mean, they're now everywhere, in Congress, state legislatures, the media, education, populating the culture with biblically-minded Christians. It's huge. All right, 866-372-7234, let me know your thoughts. your experiences in Christian education. But as I said, I'm going to take these calls that are already come in during the break, and we're going to go first to hometown of Baton Rouge, where Ricky is on the line. Ricky, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I'll mention real quick, just not my question, but all my kids went to Christian school, and thank God they did. They all graduated as foreign regular nurses, four-year nurses.
Great.
You know, and thank God they went. And I took out loans at 100% interest to send them to Christian school. That's all I knew was that important. But anyhow, my main statement was that Trump, I guarantee you, will not buckle under the wall. He's going to stand firm, because if he don't, he will be going to prison for the rest of his life. Because you know as well as I do, as long as he's in office, the Democrats, no matter what they try, they really can't do nothing to him, because impeachment is a joke. I mean, Bill Clinton gave the communist Red Chinese almost top nuclear secrets on how to keep the submarines quiet. Well, that's, you know, worthy of impeachment, much less treason. Obama gave the Iran $150 billion so they could build the bomb quicker to blow us up. That was guilty of impeachment, much less treason. Trump, it's a joke what they're trying to impeach him on, Russia collusion, which never existed in the first place. So, but if, once he gets out of office, then, and they get in office, oh, yeah, they're going to trump up a charge and throw him in prison for the rest of his life. So he's got to stay in power for at least 8 years to clean out the swamp and put in some righteous people, hopefully Liberty graduates like yourself, in position of power to turn our government back around. Because if he don't, if he falls on the wall, which I know he won't, then in 2 years his base will not vote for him because he betrayed them, and then he'll be kicked out of office. And they don't want just him just be out of office. They want to put him in prison so he don't ever come back into office again. So that's why if he falls on the wall, he'll be going to the prison for the rest of his life. And I hope he knows that. If you don't, I hope you tell him that, because I know you're in contact with him every day. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it. God bless you.
All right, Ricky, thanks for the call. I agree with you on this, that he will not fold. And I've had those conversations with some of the White House, that he is resolute. He understands what's at stake here. And he also, what has fortified him in walking down this path of keeping his promises and essentially being one of the most conservative presidents when it comes to policies, is because of the attacks of the left and the rejection of the left. He knows you cannot make peace with these folks. And he also sees the reliability and the steadfastness of the base. So I would encourage you to continue to pray for the president, support the president when he's right. And he is, so far, he's been right most of the time. So continue to pray for the president. All right, let's go to David in Oklahoma. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, Tony. I just wanted to say that I appreciate that one gentleman, I believe his last name is Nelson, speaking about, you know, Mr. King, Martin Luther King. And it's nice to hear that there are pastors out there who are looking to rekindle what Mr. King did. You know, you can't help but think that maybe his timing was God's timing when he came onto the scene to help set a good example for how you handle situations when there's strife between people. You know, I don't think there was a better example out there. You know, there's other people on the horizon who are looking to represent minorities now, who maybe their intention's not quite the same. And I just wanted to say I appreciate hearing Mr. Nelson and knowing that there's people out there looking to preserve what Mr. King did. Thank you.
All right, David, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Yeah, Dean does a great job. He's out there across the country continuing that that biblically based message. There were some that after Dr. King was unfortunately assassinated, that they took part of the message, the social justice message, untethered to biblical truth, and it just didn't have the impact and the power. And again, I mean, I know he was a human being, and I've read read many different biographies and different accounts of his life, and I know there were issues in some places. But you read his speeches, you read his sermons, and he was anointed You can just tell when someone, when they, the stuff that he spoke, and unfortunately, you know, sometimes our success gets the best of us, but it was, his legacy in many ways has been lost because of that biblically based message, that transcendent truth upon which he stood to challenge America. And I do believe that if he did not have the church, did not have the power of the Christian faith, it would not have happened. I don't think we'd be as far down this path in being an integrated, racially diverse, and at relatively at peace nation. Again, David, thanks for the call. Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for taking my call. I slightly disagree with one of your earlier callers. I'm a Trump supporter, and the Trump base isn't going anywhere. We understand it's the Democrats blocking the wall. And actually, I'll take it a step farther. The Trump base is expanding. I work with a lot of blacks, Hispanics, and females, and they've told me point blank they didn't vote for me in the last election, but they're darn sure going to vote for me in the next election. So I'll slightly disagree with your earlier caller. Trump's base is expanding. Trump's voters and space ain't going anywhere. We see what the Democrats and Pelosi are doing. To get to your point on the education, how important the Christian education, the private education, the charter schools are, and the homeschooling, I saw a study, I think it was 2 or 3 years back, teachers in the public school system, 87% of the teachers in the public school system that have their kids in a private school, 87%. Now, that was a study 2 or 3 years ago, so it may be up or down slightly, but 87% of the teachers realize how bad the public education is, and they've got their own children in private, Christian, public, or charter school. So God bless all you do. Keep fighting the good fight. And this wall issue's got the Trump voters more motivated than ever before. So God bless you. Take care.
All right, Joe. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go on to Oklahoma, where Claude is on the line. Claude, welcome to Washington Watch.
All right, thank you for taking my call. All right, I just wanted to make an observation about the Lynch Law, where the attempt is to certify LGBT rights as civil rights. Mm-hmm. And with the Pence situation, with regard to a Christian school, the agenda is that any rights, religious rights, should be trumped by LGBT or sexual rights. And that would be, once it got on as a civil right, then any affiliation with a church would be called hate speech. If I belong to a church, then I can't be indoctrinated because I'm affiliated with the church. That would be like trying to affiliate someone with being a member of the KKK. And that's basically what I think the agenda of the long-term plan is. That's all I had to say.
Claude, I think you're spot on. I think that's exactly what it is. I think it's an attempt to marginalize the church because they think that the sexual libertinism trumps a stated constitutional right. Now, this is a God-given right that the Constitution just recognizes, the freedom of religion. But they, as you said, they think that sexual liberty or libertinism trumps that. And so if a church holds to a biblical view, then anyone who's associated with that church, they can in no means hold a public office or a position of trust as they're attacking Karen Pence. So, Claude, I think you're absolutely right. That is the end game of what we're talking about here. Thanks so much for the call, Claude. Appreciate it. Let's go to Seth in Nashville, Tennessee. Seth, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
I'm well. You?
I'm doing well, doing well. One of the things that I wanted to focus on was just, I definitely agree that these Christian schools are extremely important. I think, a mix of public and private universities are very important. Even more so with that Christian biblical background. But I think we need to be aware, recently Mr. Gouger, who was the CIO at Liberty University, and, I think Liberty is a great school, but, he was connected with Michael Cohen, supposedly. Apparently this is based on what Wall Street Journal I had read, Supposedly, he had been hired, his private company, Redfin Solutions, to possibly inflate some of the polls to make President Trump look better. You know, I think there's obviously some more investigation that needs to be done. But if that is true, that reflects kind of poorly on liberty. And obviously it gives ammo to, you know, non-believers to then say, you know, what's going on? These Christians are connected to potentially fraudulent situation. It just, we need to be careful as Christians, you know, who we surround ourselves with and who we get connected with, and kind of like, you know, pushing an agenda, you know, for the sake of pushing an agenda, you know, here. It just, it scares me to think how it reflects on us as Christians.
Seth could not agree with you more. I think we have to measure every step we take. Now, that doesn't mean we don't take steps that people might disagree with, but I think we have to walk with integrity, integrity of heart, above reproach, because you are absolutely correct. If we play like the world, we're going to open up. Ultimately, it's God. He's the one. It's his reputation that is then tarnished because we represent him. So you're absolutely correct. I would say a double standard, but you know that might be a little too strong. But there is a standard, and we hold that standard up for ourselves. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean we're going to live sinless lives. No one that has ever walked this earth, with the exception of Jesus Christ, has been sinless. In fact, we are all sinners, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And see, this is the key part of forgiveness, is that when we confess our sins and we're forgiven, and then that process of sanctification begins. And the way we do that, or the way I should say God does that, the Holy Spirit, is through his word. That's why it's so important that we, number one, we're in the word. Number two, we're applying the word to our lives. And that really comes back to this issue of attacking believers for living according to the word. Because that is our sanctification. That's what helps us walk the straight and narrow, if you will. Keeps us from bringing reproach upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Seth is absolutely right. You know, as believers, especially when we carry clearly that banner of Christ, that we do our very best to stay humble before him, stay in the word, and walk in fellowship with him, empowered by the Holy Spirit, in his strength, being successful in living a life that brings honor and glory to him. And that is the issue that is at risk, the ability to openly live authentic Christian faith. Christianity is not a smorgasbord. You can't pick and choose. We have to live according to the entire Word of God in terms of his moral teachings and how we are to live. All right, folks, sorry I didn't get to the rest of the calls, but Seth brought up a good point. All right, until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.